Hello, everyone.
I'm Dave Hughes with the Corporate Marketing Group here at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of our podcast series, Tech 17, where we explore enterprise technology trends and their impact on both IT and the business of our enterprise customers. So today, we're going to be talking about a very important cybersecurity topic called Endpoint Security Architecture, or as we call it here, ESA or ESA. And we're going to be talking about it with a couple of our experts in our security practice. And that would be Chris Schwinn and Matt Berry. So guys, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Yeah, thanks.
Great. Well, it's good to have you guys back again. I know you guys have both been in our podcast series before. So if we can just take a second, guys, if you could just give me your roles real quick. So Chris, I think you're calling us from Atlanta today.
Yep, I sure am. Chris Schwinn, based out of Atlanta, been at Worldwide Technology a little bit over a year, and I'm in our security practice focused on endpoint security, and I'm also the product manager for the Endpoint Security Architecture Innovation Pod.
All right, cool. And Matt, you are calling us from the very impressive location of Big Lake, Minnesota today.
That's right, Minnesota, right? So my name is Matt Berry. I've been at Worldwide Technology for a little over 5 years now. I work on the same team as Chris, and I'm a lead architect for the Endpoint Security Architecture Innovation Pod, which we're here to talk about today.
All right, good. All right, cool. Well, thanks, guys. And endpoint security architecture is obviously it's a very important issue that's facing a lot of our customers and just obviously a lot of organizations in this space. And it's obviously one of the priority campaigns, solution areas that we're working on here with Worldwide. So we wanted to talk about that today. So let me just kind of throw this out to Chris first. And maybe, Chris, you could just kind of give us kind of a general introduction or definition of really what is endpoint security architecture.
Yeah, thanks. So endpoint security architecture, or the innovation pod that we built around it, it's focused on endpoint security architecture, where we are developing solutions to improve the visibility, control, and security of endpoint ecosystems. Right. So I think today, as we look out into the environment, right, customers have a lot of problems, right? It's a lot of challenges out there. Technology is changing fast. Everyone's connected everywhere. There's a lack of resources, right, to handle the complexity that's out there. So what we've done with the Endpoint Security Architecture Innovation Pod is take a look at some of those customer problems and figure out how can we help our customers improve their visibility, control, and security in those spaces. I think as we look out there today, we see a lot of the same themes kind of packaged around those three things. Visibility is really a challenge for a lot of our customers. And, we're building solutions that bring these together, services and solutions to really help our customers address these problems, right? So as the environments change, as customers are really having those visibility, control, and security challenges, there's also a complex ecosystem changing out there, right? Cloud is now here. Things are changing much faster. There's a lack of resources out there from a security perspective to handle it all. And really the last one is information is coming at our customers so fast, it's making it hard for them to control their environment and really have a user experience for their business, right, that security issues don't interrupt. So we're attempting to build solutions as well as services to help them out and integrate all of those pieces of the puzzle together.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. I think it's kind of good, a good intro to kind of help us understand the ESA concept. So let me throw this over to Matt. So Matt, maybe you and then Chris, if you'd like to follow up as well. So kind of specifically, I guess, kind of what types of things, is the group and specifically your group in particular working on in ESA right now?
Sure, David. So so as Chris mentioned, there are a lot of problems in the industry today. Our customers are challenged by having you know, a shortage of skilled resources and just a number of tools. There's a number of technical debt that our customers are trying to overcome in their organizations. So one of the big focuses for ESSA in this season is really focusing on integrating multiple solutions together. And it's becoming sort of what I've been sort of practicing this phrase around a little bit, but sort of the idea that 1 + 1 = 3. Sort of the idea that if you have multiple different solutions that operate in silos, each of those individual solutions are going to have their own data sets. They're going to have their own threat intelligence and view of what is going on inside of an endpoint ecosystem. But by bringing those together and sharing that information and sharing capabilities so that, you know, the information found in one solution can trigger an action in another product or vice versa, it really creates a tremendous amount of value to our customers and also helps them maximize the investment, right? So instead of going in and proposing a single solution and saying, you know, this product is going to, you know, fix all of your issues. We all know that, you know, that rarely happens. And it's very common for, you know, out-of-the-box solutions to fall short of the, you know, the expected business outcomes that initially drove the sale. You know, the industry right now is sort of prone to this idea of tool mania, you know, where we'll just buy another tool and you know, it's going to solve all of our problems. And so by taking multiple tools and integrating them together, it really drives that value to our customer. You know, providing new functionality for them through these new tools, but also identifying areas in which our customers may already have tools, they may already have security controls in place that are tremendously valuable, they're just not utilized to the extent that they could be. So case in point, we recently had a customer who had made a purchase in Tanium and leveraged Tanium quite extensively, really found it to be a great tool for their ecosystem. However, they had they were sort of wanting to take it to the next step. They were having some difficulty in performing what's known as targeted threat hunting. So this particular customer had a team who is dedicated to actively hunting in the environment for threats that may pop up. So what we did is we worked with this customer and actually took their various different network infrastructure solutions and any threat intel that was identified at the perimeter coming in, you know, whether through reputation reports or anomalies on the firewalls or IPSs, we sent that information into Tanium, you know, which the customer already had, and it provided them with a lot more data to work off of, right? So now if they're moving forward with doing their targeted threat hunting, they're not only using a single tool that has visibility into the endpoints, but we're also able to leverage investments that our customers have made in different network perimeter solutions and take that data and now feed it into Tanium so their threat hunting teams can be more effective in hunting down threats in their environment.
All right. Oh, well, thanks, Matt. Yeah, that sounds really interesting. And actually, that's a good segue into my next question. Maybe I'll throw it over to Chris. And that's, and I think Matt kind of, you know, brought up the one example. But Chris, I was going to ask you just about, you know, when you guys are, you know, are dealing with your customers and talking to them, what are some of the, you know, not even so much IT, but what are some of the business problems that your customers are telling you about, which is kind of really kind of driving a lot of the solutions that you're developing in ESSA?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Dave. I think what we're seeing are some common themes start to merge, right? There's some common challenges or problems that a lot of our customers have. I think the biggest one that we're seeing, right, and it does affect their business, right, is they've really all, a lot of them have invested in a lot of tools over time. You've got a lot of different teams organizationally, and then the business has evolved at the same time. So I think some of the things that we're seeing, right, is there's definitely a visibility problem out there, right? For most of the customers that we talk to, right, They've got a visibility problem. I like to say, and I think I've used this before, you know, the first step in a 12-step security program is admitting you have a visibility problem, and everybody does. So when we see that across the board, right, is we're looking to see how we can help these customers bring all the tools they have together, right, and get visibility on the endpoints, right? We can pull in other data from network sources, other sources, and bring the data together. But I also think on the endpoint, right, that is now, in my opinion, one of the most vulnerable spots you have. Endpoints are moving. You've got salespeople out in the field. You've got people at Starbucks. You've got people at their homes, right? The landscape has expanded. So how can you control those endpoints and really have visibility to what do you have, what's it doing in your environment, and should it be? So that's a common theme that we see from the visibility side. Obviously, the next one that we see, right, is really EDR, right? It's threat detection, it's security use cases. Trying to get them deep visibility and tie things together and really even give them more value out of tools they already have. I know Matt mentioned Tanium, right, as an example. It's a good example. A lot of people have it, but are you really maximizing the value of that investment across the security space and the IT space, right? It can do a lot. It can get a lot of information out and then obviously display that in tools like Splunk or Elastic or things like that. So we see that as an issue. And I'd say the last two that are really important we're starting to see is patch management is a really big issue for our customers, right? They have lots of tools to patch, lots of processes, but they're not doing it very well, or there's not enough time in the day to do that. So we're working with them to figure out with tools, people, and process how we can help them patch more efficiently, right, so they reduce that attack landscape that's out there. And probably last how can we help them consolidate all the tools they have, tools rationalization. I think Matt referred to it as tools mania, right? I agree, right? Everyone has way too many tools. They're usually not integrated together, and you never really have enough people to run them all in your organization. So what we like to do is map those tools out, really talk about outcomes, right? Capabilities and outcomes, and then talk about how you map those existing tools and how we enhance the tools that you have to get the better ROI out of it. And then in all honesty, how can we consolidate those down so that there's less tools but more capabilities? That'll also lead to some savings as well, right? Cost savings, which most companies are driving towards. So those are some of the big themes we see out there, as well as automation, right? I think that's where we help a lot. How do we tie that together so when people are trying to make business decisions on the security side, IT side, or just in the business, they have the right information, or you automate what you know you want to happen in your environment with the tools that you have. So lots of challenges out there, right? I think at WWT and with this innovation pod, we're working with customers to solve those problems really in lots of various tools, people, and process.
Okay. That definitely makes sense. So as we kind of move into our final few minutes, so I'll kind of address this last question to both you guys, Chris and Matt, and maybe Chris, I'll throw it to you first. So, you know, you talked about customers having these, problems that, relate to ESSA, which really can affect their, business outcomes, bottom line and such. And when you start to work with these customers, they said, hey, we need to work together to try to develop some solutions to meet these challenges. So how is that collaboration process working right now? Kind of, for our listeners, what would be kind of a quick overview about how we're collaborating with our customers to address these issues? So maybe I'll throw it to you, Chris, and then Matt, I'd like to kind of get your two cents on it as well. So Chris?
Yeah, thanks. I think what we're seeing from our customers, right, is that they're being challenged a great deal, right, with lots of the challenges that we talked about and more. And they're really coming to us saying, not only what can you help us with, right, but what else have you seen with your other customers? How are other people solving that, right? So not only do we bring a lot of our expertise and things we've seen, we're also seeing what we see out there in the market as well at other customers. So we're bringing that to bear. One of the ones that, from a collaboration perspective, which I thought is a great one, right, is about patching, right? So we had a customer come to us and said, hey, yep, we've got all these tools. you know, we're patching with them and things like that. But we get to like 70%, 71% patch efficiency every month. And with WannaCry and some of the other things out there, right, hey, we need you to help, right? We need to figure out how to get this in the 90s or even to 100%. So what we did with the customer kind of working with them is we came in and did a patch management assessment. And then at the same time, just because they had about 2,000 or more servers, right, that needed to be patched as soon as possible, we basically brought in tools and did patching for them, right? So at the same time we're assessing their environment, people, process, and tools, we actually brought in a tool and patched their environment with them. And really, in a short period of time, in a few months, probably 2 to 3 months, we brought them from a 71% patch efficiency to about 97%. And we're really, that's where we are now. The greatest part about that, right, and I think the one that makes me happy, right, is that folks that were working 80 and 90 hours a week and working every weekend didn't have to do that at the end, right? We've automated a lot of those pieces out, and really with WWT and the customer working together, we made it so those folks could actually spend the weekends with their families or away from work for the first time in a long time. So I think that's the way we work with customers, and those are really the kind of outcomes that we're looking for.
Yeah, I'm sure that I'm sure knocking down that 80 hour a week was appreciated. that's some great info, Chris. So Matt, if you got anything to add, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah. So I think the only other thing I would add around how we collaborate with our customers is something that I'm really excited about is with our innovation pod, we actually have a customer roundtable that we hold from time to time, where we bring in leaders from different areas, different industry verticals. So whether that's global financial, healthcare, manufacturing, retail. We also engage with our federal customers, and we have a lot of pointed conversations with them where we actually do less talking and we let them talk. And we ask them, what are the challenges that you guys are experiencing today? What are the problems that you haven't been able to overcome? And we use that type of interaction to really drive the efforts that drive our work cycles inside of the innovation pod. Because at the end of the day, it does no good to create a lot of really cool science experiments in a data center. We really want to make sure that what we're developing are secure business outcomes that solve those problems that our customers are having, going back to what Chris said. So, as far as the next steps, how our customers can connect with us, or if you're not a customer, I would say, first things first, if you are a customer, and you have a relationship with Worldwide, reach out to your account team. Let them know, hey, I heard this podcast about EFSA. I want to hear more. From that point, we can do a number of different things. So we can, we're happy to hop on calls and go through demos. We do a number of workshops. So Chris mentioned the tools rationalization workshop. We'd be happy to provide. We also do workshops around patch optimization or just endpoint security in general to educate on what are the latest trends out there, what products are available. And I would say if you're not a customer, but you're interested in hearing more, go to WWT.com and search for endpoint security or ESA and connect with us there. We'd love to have some conversations with you. A lot of times we begin with just listening and doing what we sort of call ideation exercises, where we get in a room or we get on a phone call and we dialogue back and forth and try to understand what the problems are that your organization is dealing with, and then we come up with a plan to address those, and sort of usually in an out of the box kind of way, with a new way of thinking that solves an old nagging problem.
Okay. Well, thanks, Matt, and great discussion. Discussion, you guys, on a very important topic. So to kind of wrap things up. So, Chris, Matt, thanks for joining us today on Tech 17.
You're welcome.
Hey, no problem.
Okay, thanks, guys. For our listeners, in the episode notes, we will have some links if you'd like to get some more, get some further information or look up some more detailed information about endpoint security architecture and some of the topics that, Chris and Matt talked about today. We'll have some links in the episode notes. That'll direct you to some more detailed information on our website, wwt.com. So once again, I always ask our listeners to, if you're not already, please be a subscriber to Tech17. It is free, and it is available on iTunes and anywhere that you can get podcasts. We usually drop them on the first and third Monday of the month, but we've got a lot of past episodes too, if you haven't been a subscriber before, that we'd love you to have a listen to. So thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on Tech17.